Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Tes, and we are holding at the Halakha of Mishnah. All right, Sir Richard, take it away. Okay, so now moving on to differences between Kinyonim that we've been talking about, where we're talking about Hedyot, versus Kinyonim that are done by Hegdesh. And we already have started really dealing with the issue when we were talking about the Hegdesh of Steachuza versus the Mechirat of Chol, the Steachuza differences. There's also differences in general in terms of regular financial transactions. If you're dealing with Hegdesh, you should know the Rishut HaGavoa, that means to say if the Gizbar is dealing with you, then the Gizbar actually is kind of completely bekesef. You can't pull out. Whereas Rishus had Yod, on the other hand, even though we use the word chazaka, we mean through whatever it is that gives you the chazaka on the thing. It doesn't mean that we're talking about only karka and so on. Chazaka, we're talking about mashicha over here and so on. Whatever would be included, as in the previous Mishnayos that explained Rishus Hedyot. And there's another amazing klal, which I'm assuming Gavi has already written down, but if not, this would be the second thing that he needs to write down. Amirato l'gavoa, kimisirato l'hedyot. Even just saying, in the same way that we're talking about a kinyan, when we're talking about utilizing just mashiach or whatever, so we're talking about over here, that even just saying that you mean to give it to Hegdesh is the equivalent of actually giving it over to Hegdesh. And we'll see what that means. Obviously, you cannot give something to somebody just by saying it belongs to you. But since La Shema Oretz so it's basically, this is something that we shouldn't learn like this, it's basically a kinyan chotzer. Because wherever you say, okay, this is yours, be kaina, you're saying to Hegdesh, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything. So therefore he was kaina be kinyan chotzer. Okay, it's very beautiful. We'll go more into the sugyas as we go along. Tana Rabban. Ketzad Rishut HaGavoa b'kesef. So let's imagine a case that the Gizbar goes ahead and he wants to buy a behema for Hegdesh. So he gave the ma'ot bivehema. Now that behema is nowhere around here for anybody to be moshech. It doesn't matter. Afil behema besof olam. You could have this animal being at the other end of the globe. The gizbar was kena that animal on the spot. Masha'in kena, of course, as we saw the Mishnayos before, if it's not the gizbar and it's just a hedyot, then lo kana chiyim shoch. And what do we mean about the next piece of the Mishnah? That amirato l'gavoa is kimisirato l'hedyot. If somebody says, this shor is an oila, or this house is hegdesh, so then it doesn't matter whether it's anywhere nearby, afilo b'sof olam, it belongs to hegdesh. But obviously, if you're talking about a hedyot, he would not be kena ad shiyim shoch. Or if you're talking about the house, Hachi Yachazik, he has to do an actual Maisa Chazak. Mishachobimana. So let's talk about one person, a regular person, comes along to the Gizbar. Mishachobimana. And he was Kaina B'Mashicha, something that was worth a month. So he goes into, makes a deal with the Gizbar. They talk about, okay, we've got 100 zuz worth of Hegdesh, you'll give 100 zuz and you'll be paid it. The guy does Mashicha, and now all of a sudden, before he gets his wallet out, lo he speak with Doto, and there comes out a new value on the stock market for this thing. It's now worth 200 money. Two money. He has to pay 200, even though if he were buying from a Hedyot, he wouldn't have to pay 200 because he already did Mishicha, and that was the actual Kinyan. So then that means that the Gizbar is on top on both directions. If he was Moshe, then it belongs to him. And even if he just gave money, it belongs to him. We're going to talk about it the other way, if he's Moshe. Moshe Einkein, if a Hedyot tries to be Moshe from Hegdash, then he's limited by the Kinyanim of Hegdash, my time. Why is that? He was already Moshe, because the Torah says, V'natan ha-kesev v'kamlo. If he gives the money, then it's his. But just to do Mashiach, it does not become his. So that was in reference to the din of Pidyon Sada that we had been learning. V'yosef chamishis kesev erkecha alav v'kamlo. So therefore, his Mashiach won't help him when it comes to Hegdash. I mean, it means that the whole thing is bottle. I mean, it's not, we could force him to pay. It just means if he still wants to go through with it, he's going to have to pay the full value, because that's what the pasuk is saying on him. How about the other way? Suppose they made a deal of 200. The Hedyot is Moshe. And before he had a chance to pay his money, it went down in price. Now it's only worth 100. So the guy says, okay, well, whew, thank heavens I was dealing with Hegdash, and the Torah says, v'natzan ha-kesev v'kumlo, and I never was natzan ha-kesev, so now I only have to pay 100, right? Because it's only worth 100. You said Mashiach wasn't kona, ha ha ha. So now you're caught on your own petard, ha ha. Nope, sorry. He's going to still have to pay the 200. What? That's not fair. My timer. Lo yekor chediot chamur mehegdash. It does make sense that if you was Hegdash that did this, so then Hegdash would manage, would be able to get the better value, right? Let's say this, both of you would have been hediotas. So what would have been the din? The idea would have been that the Mashiach was chal, and therefore you would have owed the 200. So now you're going to say, because Hegdash is stronger and it can be kind of with Kesev, so therefore Hegdash doesn't even have the value of a regular Joe in the street. What a bizyenis. So we can't make Hegdash less than anybody else, can we? So since a regular person would have had to pay the full amount after he did the Mashiach, so too, you will have to pay that amount for Hegdash. Okay. Then how about if we talk about a case where so far we've been talking about where the Mashiach was Mechayev the Tashlumim. Let's try the opposite case, because we have the din that Hegdash was Kena just for giving money. So let's say he makes a deal with the Gizbar and he pays the money. So he paid the 200 and he didn't yet do the Mashiach. So Pida'o b'matayim, and he was not able to do the Mashiach yet until before all of a sudden the price is announced that it went down to 100. So now he's going to still have to pay the 200, the poor guy. Why is this? It says, v'natan ha-kesev v'kamlo. You're not kena from Hegdash until you actually give the money. So the fact that he was Moshech does not give him rights to keep Hegdash that is, and now it's worth, he claims he's going to pay less. If he paid the money already, and he paid the 200, then that's it. The kinyan is over. So Masha Padua, the din is natzan ha-kesev v'kamlo. And the next case would be the opposite. Suppose you made a deal, paid his money, paid 100, but he didn't get a chance to do the Mashiach, and now the price went up to 200. Well, Masha Padua. But in this case, what happened over here is that then Eino Notain Elamana. What? Hey, all of a sudden the guy comes out on top? Because, whoa, how did that happen? How come over here all of a sudden we're not saying the same thing? Why don't we say, Lo Yehekach Hedyot Chomer Mehegdash? After all, if this were a private party, so then he could say, oh man, never mind. I don't want to go through with this. I want more money. It's worth money now. I made a mistake. So, I mean, we should give, at least the Gizbar should have that right too, right? But no, because even though you're right, that theoretically, between private parties, the seller would be able to say, well, never mind, even though you already actually paid, I'm giving you back your money. I mean, I want to get more money. But if he did that, the din would be that he would have to get what's called Misha Para. And that's the Misha Para Midor HaMabul, somebody who acts like that and he doesn't stick to his word. He made a deal and now He changes his mind because technically he's able to. That's exactly the Dor HaMabul, and that's what happened in the Dor HaPalaga, where people were not honest. And yeah, they stick to the din. Exactly. You want to stick to the din? You can also be wiped out the way the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaPalaga were wiped out. So that's called Misha Para, and that is done to him. And so, I mean, you can't say that it's really a free-for-all when it comes to private parties. When you say that, but now we should give the same right to the Beis HaMikdash, what? To act in this disgusting way? Where the normal person would also have to be saved on Misha Parsa. In this one case, then you're actually coming out on top because you're utilizing the dinim of Natana Kesef Vekamlo, and we don't give the rights to Hekdash to pull out. We are holding at the Halakha Mishnah of Kol Mitzvot HaBein Al HaAv. Says the Halakha Mishnah, Kol Mitzvot HaBein Al HaAv, Anashim Chayavim V'Nashim Peturot. So this ends up meaning that all of the mitzvot that have to do with a son, that a father is responsible for, only men are chayav to do this for their sons, but not women. We'll see what this includes. Includes in Yanim like Mila, Pidyon HaBen, and so on and so forth. The Chol Mitzvot HaAv Al HaBen, everything that is on, that is to say, about a father, that a son is chayav, such as Kibud Av, and Yira, and the Yisurim, not to be Mekal, not to be Maka. This is true of Echad HaNashim, the Echad Nashim Chayavim. So as we spoke about earlier, the Inyan in the first parak here in the Masechet is the nature of interrelationships in terms of Kinyonim. And it turns out that these elements of interrelationship are so nogeya that they also define the nature of the Chiyuvei HaTorah themselves. So that means that mitzvahs are also part of the continued nature of interrelationship. Because of that, we have to talk about the Chiyuvim of Av Al HaBen and Ben Al HaAv, and the difference between Noshim, once again, and Zechorim. The only difference is that Kol Mitzvot Aseh, the difference is that because of Kol Mitzvot Aseh, Shazman Gerama, Anashim Chayavim V'Nashim Peturot, this has to do directly with the fact that we have the concept of Baalut in terms of marriage. So because, as the Gemara is going to say, because there's a actual inability to be Mekayim these mitzvahs because they have Rishus Acher that's over them, because of that, the Torah did not give Chiyuvim that are Nogia a particular time. So if it's a particular time, only men are Chayav and women are Peturot because of the incredible responsibilities that are on a woman and that won't make it possible for her to be Mekayim necessarily at that time, whatever it is that she needs to be Mekayim. Cho mitzvot ha-sei she-lo ha-zman gerama echad anashim ve-echad anashim chayavim. Things that are not dependent in time. So then if you can ultimately get the chiyuv done, there's no difference between men and women. Kol mitzvot lo ta'aseh, ben she'azman gerama, ben she'lo hazman gerama. Mashenken, when it comes to an iser, even though it's an iser, let's say, that has to do entirely with time, let's say, yonim like chilul Shabbos, meyed, and so on, there's no difference at all. Echad ha'anashim, the echad ha'anashim chayavim, except for a few very specific examples. Bal takif, bal tashchit, ubal tatameh lemeitim. These are the three mitzvot that even though there is a lo ta'aseh, that you're not allowed to shave your beard. If a woman has a beard, there's no iser in her shaving that beard. And if there's an iser to cut your peyot, there's no iser in a woman to cut the sides of her hair. And if the woman is a kohenes, she's born into a family of kohenim, there's no iser of being metame lemitim. Says the Gemara, what exactly is meant with these words? My kol mitzvot habein al ha'av. I mean, it seems to say that all the mitzvot that a son is chayav to do for a father, kol mitzvot habein, all the mitzvot that a son has that have to do al ha'av, taking care of his father, sort of sounds like, but that doesn't make any sense. How could it be that Nashim are p'turot? We have the Beferish Abraita, we learn it directly from the Pasuk. Because it says in the Pasuk, it seems to say, Ish avivi motiro. What does that mean? Only an ish is supposed to be yori avein. In liela ish, isha minayin. Since it uses the lashon of tira'u, which is lashon rabim. So kisho omer ish imovi aviv tira'u. Well, that's lashon rabim, arikan shnayim. So obviously, when we're using ish, we're talking about the individual. Every individual, but there's no difference between the sex of the individual. So what does the Mishnah mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, clearly the Mishnah means like this. Kol mitzvot ha-ben. All things that are chiyuvim on the ben, which the father is chayev to do for the ben, but we'll see that's a very fascinating point. Because then what the Mishnah is saying is that ultimately these mitzvot are mitzvot on the ben himself, which is certainly the case. In other words, if the father did not do Mila, the Ben has to be Mal himself. The father didn't teach him Torah, the Ben's going to have to learn Torah himself. If the father wasn't paid to the Ben is going to have to be paid to himself. So it's all very nice to talk about a father's chiyuv for the Ben, but that would be the wrong way to say it, because it isn't really the father's chiyuv for the Ben. It's the Ben's chiyuv that is mutal ala aviv. And therefore, the Mishnah puts it in this very beautiful way. Mitzvot, but we're saying mitzvot aval ha-bein is what is meant over here. And that would mean that kol mitzvot ha-bein, that are chiyuvim on the father to do for his son, men are chayev and women are pater. And the Gemara will go into the details. Tanina l'hadat on Rabbanan. And basically, by putting it this way, the Mishnah is teaching us that which we learned more detail in the Braita, that ha'av chayav bivno l'mulo livdoto l'lamdo Torah l'asio isha l'lamdo umanut. So a father has a chiyav to do the milah of his child, to be paid to him if he's a bechor, to teach him Torah, to see to it that he gets married, to teach him a career, give him a career. And yesh omrim, there are some who say he's also mechuyev to see to it that he teaches him how to swim. V'yesh omrim, af lahashito b'mayim. This was the beautiful, okay, we'll get to the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, kol she'inu melamed et beno umanut, if you do not give your son a career, then basically melamdo listut. You're teaching him how to be a highway robber, because the guy's going to have to survive some way. So I guess the best way is to take up a gun or join a Mexican gang of some kind. He could always become a drug dealer, I suppose. But apparently that's also included in listut. Says the Gemara, you mean literally that he taught him listut? I mean, he didn't teach him anything. How can you say he taught him listut? Elakilu melamdo listut. It's as if he taught him listut, even if he ignored him completely. So let's go through each one of the mitzvahs that we mentioned in the Braisa. Lamulo. How do we know that the father is responsible for Mila? Why does it mention et Yitzchak Beno? I mean, obviously it was Beno. We know the whole story. So what you just say, Vayomal Avraham et Yitzchak. So it's mashma that the whole point is that the chiyuv that had to do with this Mila was not stam, that he was being mal the way he would be mal people that wanted to become Jews and so on and so forth, which was what he was, his Isaac was always in the kiruv of Gerim and so on. No, it was because it was Gufa Yitzchak B'nai. And that means that the Chiyav derived from that. But Hechad Olom Ha'alei Avua, if the father wouldn't be Malim, so then Mechayev Beidina L'Mahalei. The Bezdin is Chayev to be Mal. Dichtiv Himolachem Kol Zachar. So who's that talking to? That's talking to the Tzibur. So that means that the tzibur, those who are representatives of the tzibur, they are mechuyev to be mal. Maisa the peskim taina that it's not really a din only in Besdin, because since every individual is shayach to do mila, so therefore everyone has a mitzvah as the klolos of Yisrael, to see to it that all Bnei Yisrael are nimoli. How about if the Besdin did not take care of it? Hechad lo mahalei beidina. When he becomes chayev in mitzvahs, he's obviously chayev to be mal himself, because it says, so you see clearly from here that he is chayev to see to it that he is nima. So how do we know? We said over here only the father is chayev. But how do we know that? We have plenty of examples in which Nashim, I mean, that's the whole story of Tzipora, who was Mal Moshe Rabbeinu's son. So why exactly do we say that he is not chayev, but she, minolan de lo mechayva? That's because it says unnecessarily, kasher tziva oto Elohim, specifically mentioning that this was done in terms of the mitzvah that was given to him and not to her. Okay, I mean, that's the primal, you know, before we had a repetition of the mitzvah smila at the time of Kabbalah Satera. I mean, this was that specific original mila that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avram Avinu. But how do we know that that's true l'dorot? Ashkechan miyat l'dorot minah. How do we know that this is true even b'zman hazeh? Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel, because since it uses the lashon of kereset tziva, kol makom shenemar tzav eino ela ziruz miyad v'ledorot. The very fact that we talk about tzav means that it's ziruz. That means that you're supposed to put your heart into it and do whatever is necessary to get it done. But it also implies that this is true l'dorot. And if that's the case, then it means that it's defining the nature of the mitzvah l'dorot. How do we know it means ziruz? Because it says, Vitzav et Yoshua, all of this are mamish from the things that we've been learning recently. Vitzav et Yoshua v'chaskeu v'yamtseu. So you see that if it requires chizuk and ometz, we're talking about doing something with a great deal of energy. And how do we know that it's not only at that point, but that it's defining things forever? Miyad v'ledorot. That's because it says, Mina yom asher tziva Hashem v'hala l'dorotechem. So then that means that kol asher tziva Adonai alechem biyad Moshe. This is tziva. Mina yom asher tziva Adonai v'hala l'dorotechem. So that concept of tziva from that moment of tzivui and onwards forever till the ends of the earth. Livdoto. The next thing that we have was pidyon. How do we know that it's the father's chiyuv to be poda? What do you mean? It says, kol b'chol b'necha tifdeh. That we know. That's a given. You have the chiyuv to be poda, you're b'chol. And then it said, hechad lo parkei avuha. So then he is b'chiv to be poda himself. How do we know that? Because it uses the lashon of podo tifdeh. So then that means it has to be done. If the father doesn't do it, then you have to see to it that it's taken care of. And how do we know that there's not a chiyuv on the mother to be paid there? Iminona dola mikvikida dichtiv tivdeh. It says the lashon of tivdeh, but the way that it's written, it could be tipadeh. So then that means that the Torah, in leaving it open like this, is making a comparison by utilizing the concept of the passive, it shall be done. So what does that mean? That kol shemitzuveh liftot et atzmo, on someone, that it's possible to say tipadeh, that someone should be nivdeh. So if there's a tzivoy to be poda oneself as a bechor, then that individual would be shayach to the mitzvah liftot et acherim, if they have a child, but that's a male. But anyone who, if they themselves were a bechor, would not have a pidyon. We're assuming that a woman wouldn't have a pidyon. We'll have to take a look at that in a moment. But so that would mean that since a woman is not mechuyevet in tipadeh, she is not mechuyevet in tivdeh either. But of course, this is assuming that that's true. How do we know that that's true? How do we know that a woman is not chayevet? It's true that the Torah doesn't say that kol b'chor b'bnotecha, but that's talking to the parent, right? So, I mean, the Torah is not chayev a father of a daughter to be part of the daughter. But why do we assume that necessarily that means that she is not mechuyevet to take care of herself? Maybe the etzem mitzvah pidyon is chal no matter what the sex is. Well, the way that we know that is dichtiv tifde tipade. It's the opposite. Basically, what we could say is kol she'achirim mitzuvim lifdoto, tifde means somebody would have to be poda that person. Tipade means then that person would have to be poda themselves, see to it that they would be nifta. So then this works in both directions. If we don't have any mocker to be machayev, you said, we certainly understand that the father is not machayev to be part of the daughter because it says banecha. The only question was, how do we know that she doesn't have to be mepoda herself? But that itself is innate in the interrelationship between tifta and tipade. So if others are machayev to be paid, that is to say, banecha, so then mitzuvah lefdot et atzmo, then that ben, who always somehow always turns out to be a male, is mitzvah to be poda himself. But where kol shein acher mitzvah lifdoso, the father, you agree that the father is certainly not mechuyev to be poda the daughter. So therefore, she would not be mitzvah lifdoto datzma. And since she's not mechuyev it herself, so memela, she can't be poda others. But how do you know for sure that that's true? Minayin shein acherim mitzvim lifdoto, how do we know that there's no chiyev to be poda a daughter? So that seems quite clear. Okay, then the question is, if this is a mitzvah, now this is interesting, the son has a mitzvah to be poda himself. The way that we said that mitzvah is that his mitzvah to be poda himself in the event that the father wasn't poda him. So now, I mean, what is the primary mitzvah here? Is the primary mitzvah the kol b'chor b'necha tiftah? And I'll tell you what the big nafkamina would be. Well, let's assume you only have enough money to be able to be paid a one. So you can either be paid to yourself or you can be paid to your son. And right now you have a son that's b'chuyev in pidyon. You just found out about this great mitzvah. You're a very poor guy. You can't afford to be paid to both. Which one comes first? So Tana Rabbanan, who lifdot uveno lifdot? So what would be the deal in the event that you don't have enough money to be paid at both? Who comes first? Who kodem livno? The mitzvah shebegufo comes first. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's normally the din, where you have a mitzvah shebegufo and a mitzvah that's nogea someone else. But over here, the son should come first, because here the mitzvah is actually on the father, kol b'chor b'necha tifdeh. So ze mitzvato al aviv. The person who needs to do his own, that wasn't his mitzvah, it was his father who was supposed to be poda him. Masha inkin, this man's own chiyuv is to be poda his own son. So therefore the primary mitzvah would be the pidyon of the ben, not the pidyon shel atzmo. So ze mitzvato al aviv, the father here, he should have been taken care of by his own father and wasn't. Masha Inkein, his current mitzvah is on him to do for his son. So then, if that's the case, which one should come first on his Rabbi Yehuda? The direct mitzvah that's on him. Then, if he has ends up getting enough money, he should be paid the pidyon that his father didn't do for himself. This raises an interesting question, because apparently this guy only has to his name the money for Pidyon HaBen. So if he only has to his name the money for Pidyon HaBen, I thought you're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money for a mitzvah. So how come this guy is using his last dime for the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? Right? It's a fascinating question. I mean, that doesn't seem to make sense. La'alacha. Right? Fascinating, isn't it? What, like, stop, the Gemara just takes it for granted that he should actually be using this money. But how could that be? How should he be using his money? Very interesting question. There's a lot of discussion about this question. There's an interesting Bir Halacha by the Mishnah Brura. He says something that the question if it would be Nogel Halacha would be very, very problematic. Rabbi Shah disagrees with him very deeply. So the Bir Halacha writes that there's a difference between giving away money when it's beyond the chiyuv that he has, because we're afraid, like we said, he's got to be careful not to give more than 20%, because maybe he'll become poor and then he'll be mitzarech lebrios. But if we're talking about someone who is working and he has an income, so then the fact that right now he only has $5 to his name, but he's going to be getting a paycheck, and the difference in his overall parnasa that he's going to have is absolutely zilch, right? So in other words, if he uses these last $5 for doing this mitzvah, it's not going to make any difference to his overall status in terms of how much money he's going to have available in life. Rav Moshe brings many rayas that that's simply not the case. And he says a very interesting difference between the normal halacha that you're not mechuyev to give more than a chaimesh for a mitzvah and this mitzvah. And it's such a logical, beautiful, classic Rav Moshe distinction, in which he says, if there's a mitzvah where the money is not defined by the mitzvah, so then what's the shiur of the money? Then the Torah is telling you that the way the Chachamim rekuvia is at chaimesh. Masha Inkein, where the Torah tells you the amount of money, which is the mitzvah, so then that's the mitzvah. So you're going to start arguing, well, you know, I don't have enough money to afford that mitzvah. So you don't have an esrog, you're not mechuyev to pay that kind of money for an esrog, because paying the money is not part of the mitzvah. You could go out and pick an esrog if you were able to pick that esrog. So memela, the chiyev to go out to be able to be mishtadel to get the esrog, that's not the etzem mitzvah. That's the amount in which you're supposed to put out in order to be able to come to a matzah where you could be behind the mitzvah. So you would pay no more than chaimish in order to buy yourself a little of an esrog. Masha'in king, where the Torah tells you a specific amount, that's the same thing as the question of the actual chiyuv of the mitzvah. There's no shiur about a chiyuv in a mitzvah. Every person is chayv in the mitzvah. The question is, what's the ishtatus in the mitzvah? Okay, that's something else. Over here, that's gufa, the mitzvah itself. Now, the question is that we're about to get to the issue where you can't say that, because we're about to get to the issue of aliyah l'rega. So suppose you need to balance out the pidyon haben with your aliyah l'rega. So the question is that seems to be not nogea, this whole idea. By the way, there are lots of other approaches besides Rav Moshe, even though Rav Moshe's pshat is very beautiful. I mean, the Chazon Ish raises the question about maybe pidyon haben is bedavka different because there is a shibud on your nechas. So if that's the case, if there's a shibud on your nechasim, so then it's not up to you, basically. Besdin can take it out of your height, so to speak. Okay, but let's see what we can do about the other issue, which is the fact that we're about to raise the question of aliyah l'rega. What about that? So what would be the case? So says Rabbi Yirmiyah, let me explain how far this machlokas goes. The machlokas between Rabbi Yirmiyah and the Tanakhama. Everybody would be meida that in a case where he only has chamesh shloim, so in that case, he should use the money to be paid to himself. Why? Because even though it may well be that one, the ikar chiyuv is on him, like Rabbi Yirmiyah said, but who could him live? No, because mitzvah de gufe adifa. Something that has to do with your own body and your own existence and is part of the tikkun of that always comes before anything else. And that's part of the concept of shulchan kodem. This is your prime responsibility in life, is to see to it that you yourself are taken care of. Ki plige, the point is like this, fascinating issue. You've got 5 shekel in karka that is mishubat, right? So in other words, this father, he had this karka, but he sold it to somebody. Now he doesn't have it. And he's got only basically liquid, meaning the land that he can sell. He has chomesh sela that are b'nei chayr. So what's the machlokas? Rabbi Yehuda says like this. Look, we had this machlokas before, remember? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, milva k'tuva b'torah k'tuva b'shtar da. So anything that the Torah is mechayev, and over here the Torah is mechayev, paying chomesh shloim. So that is as if it's written actually in a shtar. If it's written in a shtar, then the halacha is that you can get the money out of the person who bought that karka. So therefore, what he should do, if he has five sela that is liquid, he should use that to be paid to his son. Because for his own chiyuv, the kohen has a shibud against him, right? So let the kohen go. Take away the chomesh that are mishu'abadim. Because even though normally we don't do that, gentlemen, right? Because there's no particular kohen that would have a right to sue for chomesh shloim. Because the person could always say, well, I'll give it to some other kohen. But, as Tosfos explains, if you have a situation of makarei kuhuna, where a particular kohen was the one that was always getting the matanai, so then he does have a right to sue. Okay, so in any case where the kohen would have a right to sue. So that's the chiddush. Instead of doing the primary mitzvah in terms of your chiyuv currently, what I would have determined to do, it would be better to do the mitzvah. And that's why Reb Yehuda says it this way. Look, it's true that there's an issue of whether mitzvah de gufei adif, but there's also an inyan of seeing to it that the mitzvah that's on you should be taken care of. So I always have to take that into consideration as well, right? So therefore, I can't stomp cheat the guy that I sold it to by saying, okay, let's really mess him up. Let's make sure that the coin is able to get. No, that's not the point. Because if he uses it, that obviously Reb Yehuda is not going to be able to say, go out and mess him up in order that it should be this way. The point is that we're talking about over here, this karka was sold before this child was born or before he became Ben Shloshim Yom. So because of that, the chiyuv over here on this karka was for the father's own pidyon haben, not for a chiyuv of a pidyon that wasn't even there at the time that he sold it. And therefore, if we take into consideration the additional point that Reb Yehuda says beferish, that you should always do a mitzvah that is directly your mitzvah, which is to be paid to your ben, rather than the mitzvah that was chal on his own father. So then, it's not that you're trying to mess up this guy. But over here, since he's saying that you only have an opportunity in terms of your money that's liquid, you only have an opportunity to do one of these pidyonos. So over there, if you only had one, then fine. I have to agree with the Tanakhama that I'll have to be doicha, the mitzvah that is really my mitzvah, my main chiyuv, because a mitzvah shebegufo adif. But if I'm able to be mekayim both of them, then I should be mekayim the one that allows me to be mekayim both mitzvahs, because the main mitzvah that I have is sitra that my son should be putting. Put the two together, and you now have the reason why in the case where you're going to be able to do both only if you're mocked at the main mitzvah. There, Reb Yehuda says, that's the way you should do it. Whereas since the Rabbanan hold the milva dechtibi araita lafki ktuva b'shtar damya, again, this is machlokas we had earlier, so therefore this is considered to be the equivalent of a milva alpeh. A milva alpeh, you won't be able to take it to collect out of mishu u'abadim, and the kohen will never be able to sue to be able to get the additional chamisha sloim. So because of that, I only have enough for one. And therefore, one that you're going to do, if you can only do one, is mitzvah de gufe. Now the question is, how about Tana Rabban? Suppose you have two mitzvahs to do. You have to pidyon haben, you have to do aliyah l'regel, and you only have enough money for one. So the din is that you should do the pidyon haben and then do the aliyah l'regel. Whereas Rabbi Yudadik says, I disagree in that case also. Why? Because you have to first be Ola L'Regel and then to be part of the Ben. Because if you're not Ola L'Regel now, then you're going to miss out on the mitzvah. So you're not taking into consideration that this is a mitzvah overet. Albeit it's true that there is a specific mitzvah to be part of the Ben that begins on the 30th day, the 31st day. But I can always be Mekayim that mitzvah at any time. 10 years from now, I can be Mekayim that mitzvah. I'm never going to be able to be Oyla L'Regel once the Moed is over. So because of that, always first do the mitzvah Overet, and then do the mitzvah She'enu Overet. Well, that's a good svara. So Bishlam the Rebbe, he explained himself. Hello, Rabbanim, my time are you? So the Rabbanim say, I'll tell you why we hold that pidyon should be done first, even though it may be doicha a mitzvah overt. The Yomar Kra, it's in the pasuk. That's why you were probably thinking, why in the world we bring up this weird case? Because the pasuk brings up this weird case. That's what's so amazing. Kol b'chor panecha tifteh v'lo yera'u panai reikam. What? What's the interrelationship between those two things? Kol b'chor panecha tifteh du pidyon haben, and only afterwards v'lo yera'u panai reikam. Therefore, say the Rabbanan, look, that's why the Torah put the two together to teach me that even though this is a mitzvah overet, nonetheless, this is more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you do than that you should be mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So you have to do this first, which is beautiful. Now, the question is, of course, what would be the din over here? Because here, there is no particular shiur for Aliyah L'Regel. So what do you mean? How should I use my last penny for Aliyah L'Regel? That doesn't make any sense. By the way, there's a very big chumrah in one of the approaches of the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish says, this is a killer. The Chazon Ish says that the idea of a chomesh, that's chal on you all the time. So in other words, you always have to be putting aside 20% of your income for doing mitzvahs. Now, this guy only has 5 shekel. What happened to his emergency mitzvah account that he's been keeping all of these years, right? Okay, so now of course he has to use it. He stole all the money from that account. According to that, the whole idea of chomesh becomes very problematic. Now you got to analyze the past 20 years of your emergency mitzvah account. Okay, whew, that's a real chumrah. Okay, but what would be the point over here? So, I mean, there's a lot of discussion over here exactly of why this would not be included. And one of the amazing approaches is that L'maisa, Aliyah L'Regel doesn't cost any money. You could always walk. That's the chiyuv. So now the question is, how are you going to pot yourself from the chiyuv by saying, I don't have enough money? So fine, so walk. So in other words, you want to use the money to save yourself the time and trouble of walking. So you want to buy a train ticket. Now that has nothing to do with the mitzvah. That's your problem. So the question is, you're actually using that money for yourself. It's not the status for the mitzvah. So then, I mean, the question over here is, we'd have to be talking about a case where it's too late. You missed out on, you didn't start off early enough to make it by walking. So, I mean, Gavi's walks are good, but I don't know if they're going to get him all the way from the Galil to Yerushalayim in time. So in that case, that's what we're talking about. If you only have the money that now for yourself, so that's used for yourself. That's not used for mitzvah. Okay.
I understand. But Aliyah L'Regel, you have to come with something, with a korban. Isn't that the cost?
But there's also a mitzvah of Yerah. So you have to, and that is, even the korban is really shtema. It's like nothing, right? Okay, Tana Rabbanan. There's another issue. A guy's got 5 bechorot that he has to be paid at from 5 different wives. So does he have to be paid at all of them, or does it have to also be his firstborn? So what would be the din? How do I know that he is mechuyev to be paid at all of them? Because the Torah stresses kol bechor banacha tifteh. Since it says kol, I mean, what's the chiddush of kol? Bechor banecha tifteh. But the point is, if you've got more than one bechor as defined by Peter Rechem, so then you're mechuyev to be put on. I understand, but why would I need a pasuk with that? Isn't it pshita? Be Peter Rechem tol Rachmana. It says beferish that it's a din of kol Peter Rechem li. So what in the world would a mother's first birth have to do with his din of whether it's his bechor? That's totally different. No, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you. Because ma'ade teman elef bechor bechor minach. Look, you might have thought that just like it says reshit ono, and it calls that a bechor. Kigu, right? Lo yuchol of hakerat ha-bechor. It's talking about bechor over there. And it says that this should be reshit ono, which is the first of the father's children. So then maybe the first of the Petarechem that is Reshit Ono as well. And I think it's Mechuyev to do more than one Pidyon HaBen, Afkan Reshit Ono, Kamashbon. And that's why I say, call to tell me that they are not connected at all, and that the Petarechem itself, even if it has no connection to the Bechorot of the Father, is Mechuyev in the Father's Pidyon. Then it says, you're Mechuyev Lelamdo Torah, Minol. So it says beferish, and this is a reference to and that's what you're supposed to be teaching your children. Person is mechuyev to teach himself. How do we know that? Well, that's because the Torah also says the lashon of you are mechuyev to learn, because it says vilimatem otam ushmartem lasotam on the pasuk of Shema Yisrael at achukim et amishpatim asher anochi dover bozlechem ayom. So that means vilimadetem. That's up to you. So if nobody taught you, then you're going to have to teach yourself. And how do we know that this is not a chiyuv on a mother? You said only the males are chayev and not the females. It says, you should teach. But I mean, the same letters could be read. The same thing that we did with the tipadeh and tifdeh. Limatem is to teach, but it can be read as ulmatem, that you should learn. So then that means, kosh mitzuveh lilmod mitzuveh lelamed. If someone has a chiyuv to learn for themselves, then they're mechuyev to teach the children Torah. But kosh eino mitzuveh lilmod, eino mitzuveh lelamed. Now, I mean, that seems to be taken for granted that the woman is not mechuyevet to learn, meaning to teach herself. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that the Vilamadatem is not Chal on Nashim? Same thing that we did before. Vilimadatem is connected to the way in which the Pasuk is written, Ulmadatem. So therefore, we have also the inverse. Kosh Acherim Mitzuvim Lelamdo Mitzuveh Lelamed Et Atzmo. But Kosh Ein Acherim Mitzuvim Lelamdo Ein Mitzuveh Lelamed Et Atzmo. So then, that again, you're assuming now the same thing that you said before, that there's no chiyuv on the father to teach his daughter. How do you know that that's true? Where do you get the idea? Suppose you only have enough to be able to support either your child goes to learn, your son goes to school, or you can learn. But you cannot, one of you has to work to be able to provide for the home. So who lilmod, who v'no lilmod? So in that case, who kodem livno? Because of the fact that this is the mitzvah shebegufa. But Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to Torah, im b'no zarizu mimulach, v'talmudo mitkayim b'yado. So if the son is really a brilliant kid, and he remembers what he learns, then b'no kodmo. So therefore, in that case, if there's a greater Torah that will be end up in the world by the son going, then the son should go. Ki other of Yaakov, or other of Achav Yaakov. We know he had an actual maisa like that. His father sent him shadua avu elokai midei abayi. So Rav Yaakov, who was the son of Rav Achav Yaakov, was sent to yeshiva to learn by Abaya. He comes back home for Ben Azmanim, and his father gives him, Rav Achav Yaakov, gives him a bechina. And he sees that his kid ain't too bright. So Chazya, he realizes the law of Imachayda de Shmaita today. He was not doing too well in yeshiva. So his father says to him, okay, kiddo, you ain't too bright. I'm smarter than you are. I'm going. You stay here, and you work, and I'm going to go learn. So that was based on this psak. Anyway, so Abaya hears that Rav Achav Yaakov is coming to him in the yeshiva to learn the yeshiva. Oh my gosh, this Rav Achav Yaakov is from the biggest tzaddikei hador. He's so excited. So now he realizes, but we got a very important plus in having Rav Achav Yaakov come, because there was a mazik that lived in that yeshiva. It's a whole sefer. Somebody wrote recently about this. So there was this monstrous mazit that would, it was like a seven-headed demon, right? So it lived in this yeshiva. And these kind of things happen in yeshivas. Anyway, so even if you would have a chavrusa come into the Beis HaMedrash on their own, even in the middle of the day, they would be attacked by this monster. So Abaye said to them, nobody invite Rav Acha to their home. Make sure he sleeps in the Beis HaMedrash with the monster. Okay, so what happens? Because maybe this a miracle will happen in the schus. Rav Acha is such an incredible tzaddik. Some miracle will happen, and he'll kill this monster. So it comes out. He didn't have where to stay. He says, nobody's inviting him. Okay. So he comes, and he goes to sleep in the Beis HaMedrash. Bad by Yibei Rabbana. And he sees this monster comes. It's got seven heads, and it's this snake with seven heads straight out of your nightmares. So he is davening, you know. And he starts to daven, and every time he takes a kriya, Baruch Ata Hashem, another head slices off, okay? And finally, there was, at last, he ends up destroying this whole thing. So then the next day, he tainas to Abaye, how could you do this over here? Elois Rachash and Nisa, Sakintin, I understand. You would have put me into danger. How dare you? You know, it's a good thing that miracles happen. Okay, I mean, obviously Abaye did not think it was going to be, even though he said Srakash Nisa is Srakash Nisa to kill the thing, but he certainly didn't have any suspicions that the chus of Rav Acha wouldn't be Matzah Rav Acha. He was hoping that Rav Acha would be able to get rid of the monster overall, and then they wouldn't have to worry about their Beis HaMedrash so much, that particular yeshiva's monster. Tana Rabban. So what should a person do? He's got to get married, but he wants to learn Torah. So what comes first? Should he get married? If, however, this guy is really hard up, he can't live without a woman, so then fine. Then he has the right to be marrying his mechuyev, because otherwise he'll be mahar b'avera. Yisa isha v'chakach yilmod Torah. Om Rav Yoram Shmuel, La halacha, you should marry a woman first and then go learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says it's crazy. Rechayim betzavaro v'yasot betorah. What, he's got a millstone around his neck. He's going to have to worry now about parnasa, about all these problems. So there's another beautiful, crazy pshat by Rabbi Reuven Margolius again. So he points out, you know, I mean, is that the only issue, that you're carrying around a millstone because you have to work so hard to get a parnasa? I mean, and what, having a wife is not enough to make you like busy taking care of her in a million different ways? Forget about the millstone for the parnasa. So he says, really, the original meaning of Rav Yochanan, you're going to flip, was the pasuk, Re'ei chayim imishtecha asher ahavta. Look at life with the woman that you love. What does that mean? Look what it's going to be machai of you. It's going to take up 90% of your life. And Rabbi Yochanan really said, Re'ei Chaim, not Re'ei Chaim al Tzavaro. Re'ei Chaim al Tzavaro, except they kept saying it fast. Re'ei Chaim al Tzavaro. It turned out to be Re'ei Chaim. Very sweet. Okay. So therefore, it makes no sense. So first you should learn, and then you can go marry. But the truth is, they're not arguing. Lo pligi. Halan v'halo. What Shmuel said is true when it comes for people here in Bava. But Masha Ein Kein, what Rabbi Yochanan said, that you should learn first, that's a reference to here, for them, meaning, I'm saying it from our point of view, in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, so then you can't get married first, because those people would stay where they were to learn in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they would end up not being able to learn. But in Bava, they would always go travel to learn. So they wouldn't be at home. So then they wouldn't be under the difficulty of Rechayim Al-Tzavara. Mishtabach le-Rav Chisda Ravuna b'Rav Hamnuna d'Adam Gadol. Now, as we know, Rav Chisda liked Rav Hamnuna and Rav Hamnuna, as we saw recently when he was in his hatfish kind of Hamnuna. So he was an amazing guy. And Rav Chisda held of him very much. And he told Rav Huna that Rav Hamnuna is an Adam Gadol. So Rav Huna said, okay, when he comes, bring him to me. I want to meet him. That's always dangerous. So anyway, so Kiyasa, sure enough, Rav Hamnuna comes. Chazi de lo pari sutra. He sees that he's not wearing a yarmulke. The pashtus that he wasn't wearing the head covering that they used to wear, like we talked about before. We had this whole discussion before, whether it's a yarmulke, whether it's nafka. Wasn't Gili Rosh Mamish, but it was a question of wearing something choshev on the head, which Tamid HaChachamim wear, which is the same idea we wrapped in a talis. So he wasn't Pura Sutra. So he said, how come you're dressed like that? What, you're wearing a kippah suga? Not time alo Parisa Sutra. So he said, I'm not married. So Rav Huna turns away, he doesn't want to look at him. He says, I don't want to look at you. Chazidu lo api adinesvat. You better make sure that you don't come here again and I don't want to see you until you're married. But this is Rav Huna l'shitasa. Because Rav Huna was very makpid on being married. Yomar ben esrim shana velona sa'isha. Somebody who is 20 years old and he never got married. Kol yamav ba'avera. He's going to be sinning every day. I mean, come on. I mean, really, ba'avera sa'katatakla. People can't be miskaber on themselves not to sin sexually every day. I mean, it's a little bit exaggerated, don't you think? No, what Rav Huna said was, Kol yamav bihirhur avira. He's always going to be tempted. He's always going to be fantasized. He's always going to be thinking about sex. He's got to get married by the time he's 20. Oh, my Rava, v'chein tana dever Rabbi Shmuel. Ad ben esrim shana, Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzapel adam. Until somebody turns 20, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting and waiting. All right, nu, vasimitem. How come he's not getting married? But after he's 20 years old, he still get married. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ah, tipach atzmosav. Let him blow up. I don't care. Om Rav Chisda. Hai da'adif to mechavroi. Rav Chisda said, listen, everybody knows I'm the greatest man over here. You know why I'm so great? Because I got married at 16. But that was a disaster. If I got married at 14, then I would have done it. Yavi nasiv nebar besar. Then I could have said to the Sultan, Gira Beinecha, I'm shooting you right through your eyes. Of course, the Gemara says, remember, that a person should never say Gira Beine to Sultan. So he doesn't mean, apparently, that he would really say it, but he's saying he could say it. You don't want to get the Sultan after you.